So for our second reading today, we have first encyclical of the first pope, Peter, first pope, 2,000 years ago, wrote a letter that we read today. He says, "Beloved, Christ suffered for sins once, the righteous for the sake of the unrighteous, that he might lead you to God." So he didn't just die, but he led us to God through his crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension to the right hand of the Father. St. Peter shows us that this is all connected to baptism, the baptism that saved you. When those Protestants come and say, "Are you saved?" "Well, I was baptized. I'm saved." You might add, you don't have to add, "As long as I stay out of grave sin, I'm saved." And if you do have a grave sin, then we have a second baptism in the sacrament of reconciliation, the sacrament of penance, confession. Somebody said it's like a shipwreck. If our ship is wrecked, we still have a plank, the plank of confession, the sacrament of confession. So we're saved through baptism. And we couldn't receive baptism, we couldn't receive absolution in the sacrament of reconciliation if we didn't have baptism before that. So St. Peter says, baptism is not a removal of dirt from the body, but an appeal to God for a clear conscience. It takes away original sin. It fills us with supernatural grace, which means the life of God in us. That's what baptism is. And Lent is an intense preparation, not just for Easter, but for catechumens, adults who will be received into the church through baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist. Those three are the sacraments of initiation that initiate us into the Catholic way. And it is fitting that we hear what St. Peter is saying to us today, the first Sunday of Lent. He says, just as Noah's people were saved in the ark, baptism saves us from eternal death. You know, it used to be at the beginning of Lent, centuries ago, Lent was not 40 days. It was few days, 3 days. And it was especially for the catechumens. It was for the catechumens. Then it got longer and longer as they were studying the faith, preparing themselves for that entering into the church. And then it came around and said, well, why should just the catechumens be preparing? Why not the whole church? Why don't we all prepare for renewal of our baptismal promises? And so that's what we do now. And we're all invited to accompany the catechumens, accompany those people in RCIA. Baptism is not just a ceremony, it's not just an outward sign of interior repentance. It just doesn't mean, I'm sorry, I want to repent, but sacraments are efficacious. That means they do what they signify. Water washes, but it really washes in baptism, washes away our sin. Baptism saves you. It takes away sin. It gives eternal life. On Easter, we renew our baptismal promises. Remember what their baptismal promises are? Do you renounce Satan? I do renounce him. And all his works, and all his empty promises. Do you believe in the Father? Do you believe in the Son? Do you believe in the Spirit? I do, I do, I do. We profess our faith in the Trinity. Those are our baptismal promises. So Lent is a time to prepare for the grace of baptism. The better prepared we are to receive baptism or to renew our promises, the more disposed we are, the more we get, the more we profit by the renewal. Just as the more we prepare for Holy Communion, receive Holy Communion, the more attention we're paying, the more love we're expressing, the more we will profit from that. If we go cold to communion and distracted, and after we see communion, go back and start looking at the phone or something, I mean, how much are you going to profit by it? So Lent is a time to prepare for the grace of baptism. And for those of us who are already baptized, to consider renewing our baptismal promises so that we can truly profit from the grace that God wishes to grant us. Another interesting thing that St. Peter here says in this letter, where is it here? He says, Jesus also went to preach to the spirits in prison. What does that mean? Well, every time we pray the creed, we say that he was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. So Peter's talking about that. The spirits in prison. Peter says, our Lord also went to preach to the spirits in prison. The Catechism of the Catholic Church explains this in paragraph 632. It says, the Catechism explains that Jesus, like all men, experienced death and in his soul joined the others in the realm of the dead. So all those people who had died ever since Adam and couldn't get to heaven because the gates were locked. Nobody could get to heaven. So they were in the realm of the dead. They were in Hades, which is translated in English as hell, but it's not the hell of the damned. It's not the hell of the devils. It was the realm of the dead. The Catechism says, Jesus descended there as Savior, proclaiming the good news to the spirits imprisoned there. So you think of all the spirits from Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, even Saint Joseph and John the Baptist. They were all waiting for the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. Not only did Jesus conquer sin on Good Friday and kill death on Easter by coming back to life, but he freed the souls of the dead when on Holy Saturday he descended into hell, not the hell of the damned, but the realm of the dead, and preached to them the good news of the redemption. He preached to those in limbo or Hades or hell. So as we pray for a holy death, and we should pray for the grace of perseverance to be faithful until the end, and we should pray for a holy death, a happy death, not a terrifying death. We shouldn't be scared, but we pray for, we will be happy and consoled and ready to go. We're not alone. Jesus has been there. And that's what we pray about when we pray the Hail Mary, the second part. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.